Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us, Father, the truth and the revelation of this your word, Father, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we are in the last chapter of Mark. Chapter 16. Beginning here with verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now you see, the Sabbath was over with. So this is the first day of the week. Now, they've come to anoint him. But some they hadn't thought about until just now. As they're on their way there, here in verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the raising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Because this stone was a very, very big stone. They was worried about that. Of course, they didn't know it. They hadn't got there yet. But they didn't have to worry about that. Here's verse 4. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. In other words, it was a great big stone. Size. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. Now I can imagine to walk in and see one sitting on the side of where he had laid. Six. And he saith unto them, be not frightened. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. You see, that's what he was there for. Now, seven. Now go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. He's already gone to Galilee. Now you go tell the disciples. Because you see, this young man sitting there, he's the one that rolled that great big stone away, because you see, he's an angel of the Lord God. Now, eight. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They really got shook up. They're still afraid. Nine. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She had had seven devils. Jesus had cast it out of her. She was the first to see him. Ten. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. They're there together. They're mourning, crying, weeping. 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They didn't believe her. Now, and he had told them before that he would raise the third day. And he had told them himself that he would raise and go to Galilee, and they would see him there. Yet she's telling them now that she saw him, he had risen, and they're still not believing. Well, after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the county. And they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. Now there's been two more tell him. He's still not believing. 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now he's getting on now, because they would not believe. And they'd been even told all of this even before his death. Himself had told them. 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now this 16th verse here, this is Jesus himself talking. He's telling them, preach the gospel. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And yet there are so many out there that tells you that baptism has nothing to do with you being saved. That's not what his word says. Because you see, baptism has its own reason. Now, even in my study Bible, it will tell you, only faith, not baptism, is essential for salvation. As the omission of baptism from the last clause shows. Jesus just told you there in verse 16, and it does have something to do with it. Well, we know what it has to do with it from Romans chapter 6. Let us know why we need to be baptized. You know, so many, they don't really look at things and study the word to find out the truth. Now in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter got through preaching his sermon on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit had been sent to mankind, preaching to the crowd that he had hid from even before. And when he finished, they asked, what must we do? He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall be saved. Now, what does baptism have to do with? Well, when you look at Romans chapter 6, we'll just start here with the very first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You are putting on, when you're baptized, you are also putting on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what baptism has to do with it. Because you see, as you go under that water, you're being buried with Christ. You're putting on death with him. And when you are raised up out of that water, you are being raised in his resurrection. And therefore, you are coming up a new creation, and you are to walk in newness of life. So you see, it does have a lot to do with us and with our salvation. Now, 17. Here's another one that is being so ignored today among our churches. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Are you a born-again child of God? Now, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now you think you're walking without any power of God in you? Only those that don't believe in him are walking without. Those that really believe in him and that has repented, that's been baptized in his name. That's the way we're to be baptized, in his name. Because we're putting on his death, his resurrection. You see, we have that power within. Because when we have done what the plan of salvation tells us to do, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit all living within us, each and every one of us. Think about it. Now, 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Now he's gone. And they went forth and preach everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We have come now to the end of Mark, the Epistle of Mark. All right. We're going to be now going into the book of Luke. You know, I told you we're going to go through the four Gospels. And we're probably not going to get all the way through the first chapter because it is quite lengthy. There's 80 verses to the first chapter of Luke. So we'll see where the Lord takes us to as we begin. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Luke, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. You see, he's letting them know and talking here about Luke is about the word and the things that they are actually declaring. Verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And we know that they were and were the first. If it was not for them, you and I today would not have the word we call the Holy Bible. We would not be able to know anything about God. It all came through the Jewish people to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, that is Luke's introduction, really. And we will now begin to get into the main topics and scriptures of Luke. In verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now this was before the Lord Jesus Christ that he's talking about here. And they're walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. She was not supposed to even be able to have a child. And they both were now well stricken in years. Well, you know, as we know, once the ladies pass a certain age, it is very unlikely for them to even be able to become pregnant. But on top of that, on top of this, with being really past the age, she was also barren. Now, here in 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, we have this old man standing here now with fear, because this angel of the Lord appeared to him. 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for that prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, here he is standing there. He's in fear because this angel appears to him well over years for childbearing to start with. So is she. And then she's barren on top of that. And he's being told that she's going to get pregnant and bear him a son. And even told what to name him. 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Now, 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. The angels tell him all about it. 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, their God. 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He's letting him know that he is going to be preparing the way for the Lord. 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He said, now how am I to know this? You know, we all question things at times. So we need to be careful about questioning things. He's asked this now. 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad addings. He said, I was sent by the Lord to show this to you and to speak to you. 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. He asked for a sign, a way to know. Now, he's not going to be able to speak until all of this comes about. We're talking probably a year, but he's not going to be able to say a word. To these things be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. This is what unbelief got him. 21. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. He's in the temple when this happens. And was at the altar lighting incense. 22. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. It was already in effect. 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. She was hiding because of her age and her being pregnant, but yet she was in joy that God had granted her had granted this for her. Now, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's wondering why he's greeting her and what it's to be of. 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now here again, we show them exactly, got down to what name. 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What a message this young lady is getting from this angel. 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? He said, I don't have these kind of relations. 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is all being told to a very young lady. 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. He's telling this to Mary. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now Mary, she knows for her to be pregnant without a husband, according to their law, can mean death for her, because they could take her and legally stone her to death. Now, 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. 38. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. There is no argument, no doubt or nothing. She said, Let it be according to thy word. Now the angel departed. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Now, you know, there's something else that we need to understand, too, as we are reading and studying this. Today, there has been over 60 million unborn babies murdered. Because they have said that it is a woman's right to choose. Because that baby is not alive until it breathes. It's born and breathes this air. So we find out right here with this story that that is not true. She's entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. This babe in the womb, because it already knew what was happening. 43. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You see, Elizabeth is right now, she already knows, and so does that child that's in her. 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. You think it doesn't have life? That baby that's in the womb doesn't have life? You see how wrong it is? 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her, were told her from the Lord. And we're going to stop here for this morning. God willing, we'll get back into this evening and continue on here in the book. We've got quite a bit to go. We'll find Luke is a good writer. Now, but you see how closely all these recordings of these books are, and there is none of them that is contradicting the other. They are all in agreement. They may speak it a different way, but the meaning is the same in the understanding. is the same. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as you close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for a time we can come together to study your word. And Father, we pray now for Israel and Jerusalem to have peace. But more so than that, Father, that they all will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. In this land of ours, Father, I pray that the evil in all of our leadership offices can be replaced with those that believe in you, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, that loves your church, and that loves this country. And that they, Father, will work with us to bring this land to repentance, put our government back upon the foundation from which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, those that are of this ministry and hear the words of this ministry, Father, that they be in great, great standing with you. And that, Father, that they are always looking to your kingdom and not to the things of this world. And I'm asking, Father, for them to be kept that way, always seeking for the truth of your word, bringing it into their hearts and their lives, to bring it to life for others to see and come to a knowledge of knowing that they need the Lord Jesus Christ and that the Holy Spirit will work with them and help to lead them to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, Father, as we separate to go our own ways, keep us all safe in health and bring us all back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great day. And walk with God. And He walk with you. I pray to see you at 6 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. Bye-bye now.